Schools often take a hit when the economy suffers. In our next story, we hear how some states are trying to protect their education budgets from the current economic downturn. NPR's Larry Abramson reports.
If you're an educator in a state like Michigan, you probably feel like someone keeps plunging your head into a bucket of ice water. During economic booms, you get to take a breath. But right now, it's time for another dunking. 22 Michigan districts are facing deficits. Don Watruba of the Michigan Association of School Boards says that as operating costs go up, there's only one way to trim: cut staff.
A lot of our younger teachers are the ones that get laid off because they're the lowest on the pay scale as far as the union goes, and then those students leave the state to go work somewhere else. So I think we're having a problem with eating our young a little bit.
The irony is that Michigan legislators this year approved a small increase in per-pupil spending, but it's not enough to keep up with the cost of education. Combine that with the fact that enrollment is declining rapidly in places like Detroit, and you can see why educators are running out of hair to pull out. When it comes to higher ed, the picture is equally bleak. Budget problems led the University of Nevada to axe the all-time favorite instructor of a student named Hepi Mehta. So Mehta held a going-away party for his teacher, complete with a call to action on Facebook.
I just said the budget cuts suck. It was, you know, part of the description of the event. And that actually started getting a lot of reaction.
In the form of student protests against a looming 14% cut in funding. The University of Nevada has already suffered about 7% in cuts over the past year, leading Provost Neil Samatresk to write an angry screed, much of it in all caps, calling the shortfall, quote, a dagger in UNLV's heart. Now, we could go down the list of states like Florida and California facing torture by education cuts, but it's so much more refreshing to hear about states that are trying to protect school budgets, like Pennsylvania, which is raising state funding by as much as 15% in some districts. And despite economic troubles in Arizona, school districts there got a 2% bump in state money. Chuck Essex of the State Association of School Business Officials says that's because voters there passed an initiative in the year 2000.
Which requires the legislature annually to fund operational expenses in schools with a 2% increase or inflation, whichever's less.
But that hasn't protected the Mesa Public Schools, the largest district in the state, from having to consider school closures. Once again, the culprit is declining enrollment. Truth is, educators are often reluctant to admit when they are doing well. Richard Miller of the University of Wyoming clearly does not want to crow about the generous allowance his school is getting thanks to oil and gas revenues.
Oh, on a biennial basis, probably 15%.
In recent years, Wyoming has been using its energy bonus to boost spending both on K-12 and higher ed. Richard Miller says the university is trying to make sure that energy money will keep flowing by training workers for energy fields.
We have an enhanced oil recovery institute that's being funded now. There are clean coal research monies that the state's providing us.
Same deal in Alaska and North Dakota. Educators in these states say while they are benefiting from higher energy prices, they want to avoid boom and bust funding when it comes to education. Larry Abramson, NPR News.
And there was some good news for retailers in that retail sales were stronger than expected in June. Big discounters like Walmart and Costco did especially well. Retailers still have cause for concern, in part because one of the recent boosts to spending, those government stimulus checks, is about to disappear. NPR's Wendy Kaufman reports.
In addition to the government stimulus checks, retail sales were buoyed by warm weather and aggressive summer promotions and discounts. Walmart and Costco, two price-conscious retailers, continue to do well, even without their gasoline sales. For the month of June, Costco posted a 5% increase in domestic same-store sales, the basic measure of retail performance. As for Walmart, the company's same-store sales were up 5.8%, the biggest jump in years. Pam Goodfellow, a senior analyst at the marketing and research firm called Big Research, says those Walmart sales were driven by price.
You know, people are looking for the lowest prices, and when you can count on, you know, one store having the lowest price or very low prices, for their products, it's an easy decision for a lot of consumers.
Looking ahead, analysts point to weaker overall sales in the all-important back-to-school period. They note that most of the stimulus checks have already been spent. Gasoline is more than $4 a gallon, and consumer confidence is at an all-time low. Wendy Kaufman, NPR News.
It's been a rough week on Wall Street. Much of the focus of investor concern has been on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The two big government-backed mortgage agencies have seen their stock prices collapse because of fears about their financial health. Today, the New York Times reports the government is even considering taking over the two companies. We called Bill Seidman to find out what's going on. He's publisher of Bank Director magazine and also former head of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, or FDIC. Thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure to be here.
How much trouble are these two agencies in? It sounds bad.
Well, the agencies are clearly suffering from the problems in the mortgage industry. They've had some losses. At the present time, from all we know, they are not insolvent, but they are certainly weakened.
Put this in perspective for those who don't think much about these two agencies. What role do Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac play in the housing market? What exactly do they do?
Well, they play a huge role in the marketplace because they take individual mortgages from banks and mortgage brokers and others and put them in packages and sell them into the financial market, providing very large resources for funding mortgages for the American people.
And they handle how much of the mortgage market? It's quite a sizable percentage.
It's over half, and it probably amounts to somewhere in the area of $5 trillion plus in mortgages and guarantees.
And so what would happen to the housing market if Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac failed?
Well, it would, I would say, be a major, major problem for the marketplace. Their securities are owned by banks and insurance companies and others. And if their guarantee on this mortgages was called into question, it would create huge losses in the financial system.
What about the practical effect on the housing market if these two huge, well, they're mortgage giants, were to go into bankruptcy or in some sense go under?
Well, if they went out of operation, it would totally disorient the private housing markets. It would be as close to a disaster as I can think of. If they could no longer package and guarantee mortgages, funding available for housing in the United States would be drastically reduced. And, of course, the industry is in bad enough shape now. And secondly, if their guarantee of what they've already done was considered no good, it would cause huge losses throughout the world in the financial systems that own their bonds and hold their guarantees.
That's Bill Seidman. He's publisher of Bank Director magazine and former head of the FDIC.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Bloch.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Not a day goes by without more evidence of the shrinking economy, from lending organizations in trouble to shrinkage on our grocery shelves. In a moment, we'll find out how makers of soap, ice cream, and cereal are reducing the size of their products without reducing the cost. Also, we'll hear from people who are driving less. No surprise, that's thanks to high gas prices.
First, the precarious position of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Those are the two private, government-chartered companies that own or guarantee nearly half of all the nation's mortgage debt. Their stock values are plummeting. Fannie Mae is down nearly 80% from its price a year ago. And now, as NPR's Jim Zaroli reports, there's talk that a taxpayer bailout may be necessary.
Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac play a pivotal role in the U.S. mortgage business, and so it was perhaps inevitable that they've become swept up in the housing industry turmoil. On Monday, shares of the companies fell after an analyst warned that a pending accounting rule change would leave the companies undercapitalized. Government regulators quickly disputed that, but the tone was set. Today, the Wall Street Journal reported that the Bush administration is developing contingency plans for the collapse of the companies, and shares fell even more. On Capitol Hill, Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson tried to voice some reassuring words about the companies.
They play an important and vital role in our economy and housing markets today, and they need to continue to play an important role in the future. Their regulator has made clear that they are adequately capitalized.
But at the same time, former Fed Governor William Poole warned that the companies were insolvent and may need a government bailout, and that sent share prices tumbling even further. The likelihood of a government bailout of the companies was something being talked about more and more today. Economist Mark Zandi of Moody'sEconomy.com, an advisor to Republican presidential candidate John McCain, said the companies may need to issue more shares of stock to raise money that would dilute the value of existing shares. But Zandi also says it's unlikely the government will allow the company's troubles to go much further.
Unless you're a shareholder, I wouldn't be worried, because there is no chance the federal government would allow these institutions to fail, to stop doing business. It would just be catastrophic for the system, for our economy. It's just not going to happen.
The company's troubles even became fodder for the presidential race. An advisor to Democratic candidate Senator Barack Obama said it was critical to maintain a flow of capital for the companies. Senator McCain told reporters that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, quote, will not fail. We cannot allow them to fail, unquote. Later, McCain backed off the comments a bit, insisting that the two companies' troubles could still be addressed.
At this time, I don't think that there is a requirement for a government bailout, so we will have to discuss the options that are available in order to keep it viable. And that's what I would hope that we could do with various experts and people of knowledge throughout the country.
By the end of the day, a spokesman for Fannie Mae insisted that the company maintains the capital to fulfill its mandate and keep doing business. But the concerns about the company seemed unlikely to ease anytime soon. The impact of their troubles could be seen in shares of the troubled investment bank Lehman Brothers, which fell sharply today. One factor driving its stock down was said to be the significant exposure it faces to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Jim Zeroli, NPR News, New York.